Chapter 1. I've never seen the point of fancy dress parties. You have two choices. Either you make a massive effort and wind up looking like a dick, or you make no effort and wind up looking like a dick. And my problem, as always, was not knowing what kind of dick I wanted to be. I'd pretty much committed to the no effort strategy. Then I'd panicked at the last minute, made an ill-fated attempt to track down somewhere that sold costumes, and found myself in one of those weirdly high-streety sex shops that flog red lingerie and pink dildos to people with no real interest in either. Which is why, when I rocked up to a party already well into the too-hot, too-loud, too-crowded stage of its life cycle, I was wearing a pair of problematically sexualized black lace bunny ears. I swear I used to be good at this sort of thing. But I was out of practice, and looking like a cut-rate rent boy serving a very specific fetish was not the ideal way to make a triumphant return to the scene. Worse, I'd arrived so late that all the other lonely shit people had given up and gone home already. Somewhere in that pit of flashy lights, bleepy music and sweat were my actual friends. I knew that because our WhatsApp group, currently called Queer Comes the Sun, had devolved into 100 variations on the theme of, where the fuck is Luke? But all I could see were people I vaguely thought vaguely knew people who vaguely knew me. Wriggling my way to the bar, I squinted at the chalkboard listing the night's bespoke cocktails, and eventually ordered a slow, comfortable conversation about pronouns up against the wall, since it seemed like it would be both nice to drink and accurately descriptive of my chances of scoring that evening. Or indeed, ever. I should probably explain why I was sipping on a non-binary beverage while wearing the world's most middle-class excuse for fetish gear in a basement in Shoreditch. But honestly, I was beginning to wonder that myself. Basically, there's this guy called Malcolm, who I know because everybody knows Malcolm. I'm pretty sure he's a stockbroker, or a banker, or whatever. But in the evenings, by which I mean some evenings, by which I mean about one evening a week, he DJs at this transgender, gender-fluid club night called Surf and Turf at the Cellar. And tonight was his tea party, his Mad Hatter's tea party. Because that's Malcolm. Right now, he was at the back of the room in a purple topper, a striped tailcoat, leather trousers, and not much else, laying down what I think they call sick beats. Or maybe they don't. Maybe that's something nobody has ever said ever. When I was going through my club kid phase, I didn't even bother to ask the names of my hookups, let alone make notes on the terminology. I sighed and turned my attention back to my comfortable lack of a screw. There should really be a word for the feeling you get when you do a thing you don't particularly want to do to support somebody else, but then realise they didn't actually need you, and nobody would have noticed if you'd stayed home in your pyjamas, eating Nutella straight from the jar. Anyway, that. I was feeling that. And probably I should have just left, except then I'd have been the arsehole who showed up for Malcolm's tea party, made no effort with his costume, drank an eighth of a drink, and then fucked off without talking to anybody. Pulling out my phone, I sent a forlorn, "I'm here, where are you?" message to the group, only to see the clock of doom pop up beside it. Who'd have thought an event that took place literally underground and surrounded by concrete would have bad mobile phone reception? "You do realise," warm breath brushed my cheek, "that those ears aren't even white." I turned to find a stranger standing next to me. Quite a cute stranger, with that pointy, foxy look I've always found weirdly charming. "Yeah, but I was late, and you're not wearing a costume at all." He grinned, looking even pointier and even foxier and even more charming, then flicked his lapel aside to reveal a sticky label that read, "Nobody." "I'm guessing that's an irritatingly obscure reference." "I only wish I had such eyes," the king remarked in a fretful tone, "to be able to see nobody." "You smug git." That made him laugh.